Hello and welcome to the Veterinary Today podcast produced by the Illinois State Veterinary Medical Association. I'm Joey McLaughlin, your podcast moderator. Veterinary Today shares current and developing trends in the veterinary profession, providing information so veterinary professionals can serve clients and their pets and livestock and manage their practices and to establish a more informed, knowledgeable, and educated clinical staff. Veterinary Today also allows pet owners and animal producers to view into the world of veterinary medicine from clinicians and technicians, shedding light into the world of animal care and treatment from their experienced professional points of view. Our host is Dr. Joanne Carlson, Chief Medical Officer at Loving Care Animal Clinic in Palatine and immediate past president of the ISVMA's Board of Directors. Dr. Carlson, hello.
Hi, Joey. So good to be back with you and our listeners. I'm excited to discuss today's topic episode, something unique to Illinois.
Yeah, not only is it very intriguing, but interestingly, our guest today is my former veterinarian when I lived in Decatur, Illinois. Kind of a small world, right?
Isn't that right? How funny the way our lives cross paths. Well, this is a nice reunion for you, Joey.
Absolutely.
Beyond being an outstanding veterinary practitioner, Dr. Larry Baker is a veterinary pioneer in Central Illinois. Beyond his state-of-the-art veterinary clinic in Decatur, he has built a regionally renowned animal hospital comprised of three buildings offering services not typically found at our veterinary practices. Northgate Pet Clinic features all the medical services you would expect from a small animal veterinary practice, true, but it also features veterinary dentistry services for all kinds of animals. Dr. Baker is a board-certified veterinary dentist. How about that? Essentially, there are about 200 of these folks in the United States. Dr. Baker's dentistry practice also offers dental training seminars and labs for students and veterinarians from which to learn and grow in a dedicated training facility. On the fun side of the operation is a bakery that makes all kinds of delicious treats for clients' pets. But what's super intriguing about Dr. Baker and his team is they offer a clinical trial program for pharmaceutical research for both dogs and cats that pet owners can voluntarily sign up for in exchange for medical services and treatment for their beloved pets.
Yeah, very interesting and something you don't see every day, right, Dr. Carlson?
Absolutely, indeed. And this clinical trial program has a dedicated facility with its own veterinarian running the trial procedures with Dr. Baker's oversight. So let's allow Dr. Baker to tell us about this clinical trial program, how it came to be, what's research, and how clients can get their furry friends involved. Welcome, Dr. Baker.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. Thank you for the kind introduction. That was very nice of you. I think I'd enjoy talking about clinical trials because I don't have a chance to do that very often. And we have probably the only building in the United States that's private dedicated to clinical trials. We have three buildings, and one of them, this one used to be dedicated to the Humane Society, and they needed a larger place, and so we turned it into clinical trials. And so that's what we do here in the building, and that's all we do there, and I enjoy it.
That is so interesting. Can you share with us any of the pharma companies in which you've engaged at your clinical trial facility? I see that you offer a variety of options.
Actually, do. We have trials from almost all of the major pharmaceutical companies, as even some private trials. I remember especially an interesting private trial was from a retired physician who wanted to use capsaicin. And he used capsaicin into joints because the nerves get, like in the tongue, the nerves get used to capsaicin. So he thought if the nerves in the tongue used capsaicin, which is why many people that like spicy foods can eat hotter and hotter foods, that might work in the joints too. That was one trial that didn't go very far, but it was fun to do and interesting. So that was just happened to be an interesting trial. But most of the trials are from major pharmaceutical companies, and often they have companies that work for them that promote and provide the clinical trials through us.
I see that you have several that involve the osteoarthritis in the senior pets.
We do.
That's been something very interesting to me, the monoclonal antibodies.
It is. There are more and more studies involving monoclonal antibodies in humans as well. I'm just reading about that this morning. But actually, all this started with if I could go back to 2014, we weren't even doing any osteoarthritis trials then. We were doing actually a product that's on the market called Jaricoxib that I'm sure you're familiar with. And that yes. company for that asked me to, if I would be interested in doing a, they didn't use the word clinical trial because at that time, I don't think there were many clinical trials. They asked me if I would check and see with them if Jaricoxib was effective for dental pain. And I said, sure, how do I do that? So they kind of told me how to do it. And it wasn't nearly as complicated as it is now, but we did that and found out that the animals that we provided the Jaricoxib to didn't show the signs of clinical pain that other animals without it did. And I didn't even really know how to recognize all the signs of pain in animals. So I had to do a little research, a little education, found out a lot of things about animals, how they can show pain other than just yelping or barking or screaming or running away, you know. And so as a result of that trial, I actually got to speak pretty much all of the United States. And then I think probably our trials got out there in the government, one of the government websites, and I started getting calls. And so that's what started our clinical trial program back in 2014. And the osteoarthritis trials, now we've done both dogs and cats. And we've had requests to do quite a few, so we can only do one at a time. We don't want to impose upon one company when we're doing clinical trials for osteoarthritis when another company asks us to do that. So we separate those trials. We've got quite a few of them going on different times.
How do you staff this operation? How many team members do you employ, and who's responsible for specific duties?
That's a good question. I'm the principal investigator, so I try to look over everything, but I also hired a veterinarian that just actually that's what he does is the trials themselves. And we have a coordinator, Tori, who takes all the calls from various companies, lets them know if we'd be interested in it or not, and often asks me if we're interested. For example, anything dentistry I'd be interested in. Something like maybe cardiac trials, I wouldn't be because we may not see enough cases there. But Tori takes care of all that, lets me know. And then if I'm interested, we tell the company and they send us a protocol and we sign the protocol. And then they normally send a person to us or even sometimes by a Zoom call that explains what they want us to do. If we can do that, then we sign up for it. They tell us the type of computer program they want to use. And because there's a couple companies out there that basically does computer programs for clinical trials. And then we sign up and we have our assistants that generally do a lot of the paperwork and the pharmaceutical handling and reports back to the company. It's actually quite an involved process compared to what it used to be. It's very similar to human trials.
And we'll be right back after this. Consider your ISVMA your one-stop shop for all of the CE you need to renew your Illinois license, whether you're a veterinarian or a CVT. From veterinary medicine to practice management to technician tracks and your career's ongoing development, your ISVMA has compiled courses from its annual convention and from collaborative veterinary educational providers that allows you to earn practical CE for license renewal. You can also sign up for mandated courses required by the state of Illinois for you and your staff, including sexual harassment prevention training and opioid management training. So let's talk about affordability. Your ISVMA provides all of these courses at incredible cost savings to you. It even provides value-added courses in collaboration with veterinary-related professional organizations offered at a great discount, giving you more variety than ever before. Leverage your membership by taking advantage of these timely and relevant courses at an incredible value. Visit the ISVMA's website at www.isvma.org and click on the ISVMA drop-down menu at the top of the page. Then click on ISVMA event registration to read about all the courses available to you today. And now back to Veterinary Today with your host, Dr. Joanne Carlson, and special guest, Dr. Larry Baker with Northgate Pet Clinic.
So how do the clients, how the client components of these clinical trial programs work? Can you please share with us how the pet owners sign up their dog or cat, and what kinds of concern do they express about enrolling their pet into the trials? I'm sure there's lots of questions.
Sure. Well, for example, let's just pick a trial like, let's say, fleas and cats. We've done clinical trials using a drug for fleas and cats and to kill fleas and cats. And so what we normally do is, in that case, I would call the groomers in our area, all the groomers, and say, hey, if you come across a cat with fleas, if you want to, don't treat it. Send it to us. We'll pay you a stipend for sending it to us. We'll treat the pet for free, and we get some clinical results that can help other pets as well. That's one example. Other things like, a nerve block for postoperative pain in cats. We might ask anyone coming in that's going to have surgery done on their cats if they'd like to be involved in the clinical trial. And if they, and tell them, and they always have questions like, is this dangerous? Is it, you know? And boy, I don't remember over the years, I don't remember one real problem with a clinical trial causing a serious injury or death of a pet ever. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is even though we do that, about 70 to 90% of the clinical trials fail to show a pharmaceutical that's better than the one we already have, for example. Still, it's interesting, and often we use a drug that's well known, for example, for pain, as the counterpart to the drug we're using as an investigative drug. And so that's how we pretty much handle that. We can go through our records. For example, let's say we've got, they want to do a cat osteoarthritis study. We simply go through our records, look at all the cats that have had trouble that we might think have osteoarthritis, call the owner, say, hey, if you want to get into clinical trial, we can do that. It doesn't cost you anything. You can perhaps even get paid for it. We'll provide the drugs. We'll do a CBC, complete blood count, some blood work, your analysis, good exams, and we might have to do them at the beginning of the trial, during the trial itself, at the end of the trial, perhaps even later, because some of these trials may last for 2 weeks and some trials may last for years. So it all depends on the trial that we're doing and what kind of trial it is.
So clearly the benefits for the pet owner is perhaps preliminary lab work and also then promising outcomes as far as the osteoarthritis. So I know that I've been thrilled with the Solensia for the kitties. Yes. Because there's very few pain options for osteoarthritis in cats.
Yes. And you know, what's interesting is I had to look back and see, because some of these trials, the drug we're using might be labeled B23, you know, we don't know what that is. And then if it gets on the market, we often know it. And what's nice is some of these trials do have a placebo. So maybe we'll be using the drug in 2 out of 3 cats and a placebo in 1 out of 3. So a lot of times we have to depend upon the owner's diary they may keep every day on what the pet is doing or not doing. And so generally these pharmaceutical companies are really good about this sort of thing. If it looks like to them that the new investigative drug is working and the placebo has not, then they will often provide at the end of the trial the investigative drug to the people that had the placebo. And normally the people get paid by simply medications from us or office calls from us or whatever in the future, whatever it's worth. And it depends. They usually get paid pretty well. And the CBCs and the profiles and your analysis can easily add up to $300 or $400 for a client that they would be paying otherwise.
So, you know, what have you learned from conducting these trials as to why it has been important for animal healthcare? Sounds like you've had some very positive outcomes. But what are some of the challenges you face, Dr. Baker?
I think maybe the biggest challenge sometimes is ascertaining whether the patient is better or not. The clients may be better at that. And some of the trials are difficult in terms of the client must have a computer, must check in every day. They must be, some of the trials that computer has, the client has to be computer savvy. And if they're not, we can't put them in the trial. On the other hand, there are pets that can't get into trials because they've been on a drug recently, within the last week, within the last month. And sometimes there are only a limited number of pets we can put in the trials. And so, for example, we couldn't put a pet in a clinical trial that's been on an anti-arthritic drug during the past month. So that's probably the biggest thing. It seems like it's not a problem. I'm kind of excited about the clinical trials, so it's not a problem for me to talk to a client and about it. And most of the clients I talk with are interested in, and they, you know, I even have some clients that, well, I say, you know, you're an hour and a half away. You probably don't want to come for this. Oh yeah, we'd like to do it. And so we have quite a few clients interested, whether they're local or not local.
Well, obviously these medical trials are a unique opportunity in Central Illinois, but how unique is this operation that you have?
Well, you know, I've had several veterinarians call me and they've heard that I do clinical trials, and they are interested in them. So I give them the company's name and, you know, name and phone number, and they call. And I don't know anyone that's taken advantage of that yet. I think it's because it's pretty involved in terms of keeping track of the patient, of doing it exactly the way the pharmaceutical company wants it done. We don't cut any corners. Everything, if it's not written, it's not done, you know. So it's difficult, and you can't exactly work a clinical trial with your regular appointments. We have days that we do clinical trials all day long in this building. That makes it a lot easier. But if you're a veterinarian and you want to do clinical trials, you've really got to dedicate yourself to doing it and making sure you do the accurate record keeping and have employees who can assist with that.
I see. I can tell by your enthusiasm that you really enjoy facilitating this program.
I do. And like I said, I've done it since 2014. And it's really nice to see sometimes the human counterparts to this. I've seen, so when I read in, I take the New England Journal of Medicine too, as well as the JAVMA and ISVMA, any reports. And so when I read any of these, I always kind of compare them and see what trials in humans are compared to trials in pets. And a lot of times they're very similar, especially some of the trials involving genetics.
You know, 10 years and running. So what is the future of this program, Dr. Baker?
Well, we don't intend to stop. I like doing it. And we just have to turn down some trials because we don't have the time to do them. So I think, you know, we're going to plan on keeping doing them as long as we can.
This has been really fun talking about this. And I have to say, I'm always amazed at the different facets of veterinary medicine and the things that we can do and we participate in. And I'm just thrilled. So for clients that might be listening, how can they find out more about your clinical trials at your facility? And our fellow veterinary colleagues, how do they find out more about these trials, Dr. Baker?
I have no problem with them calling me directly at Northgate Pet Clinic in Decatur. And I have no problem with them calling on my cell phone, 217-520-4653. I'd be glad to tell them how they could do clinical trials, and many of them certainly could be interested in it.
You know, I know that our teacher and mentor, Dr. Irwin Small, is up there clapping right now in heaven saying, go Illini veterinarians.
Dr. Small was one of my favorite instructors, and I spent quite a bit of time with him, and it really enjoyed his teaching. He was good.
Well, he was the best. I'm sure he's very proud of you. So thank you for joining us today. It was nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being able to discuss our clinical trials.
Thank you, Drs. Baker and Carlson, for yet another insightful view into the veterinary medical profession here in Illinois. And thanks to our listeners for tuning into this episode. Join us again and check out our previous podcast episodes. They're available at Veterinary Today podcast homepage or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. I'm Joey McLaughlin. Thanks again for joining us.